used to have to, by faith, praise him. I mean, it took faith because I didn't understand, you know, that there was, that you had to train this flesh in what you want it to do. The real you's on the inside of you. But, you know, it's not hard for me anymore because I practiced it a little bit to praise God. It's not hard for me anymore. I can praise him when things are good. I can praise him real easy when things are bad, not going so good. I've learned how to praise the Lord. You got to learn how to praise him. And when you're doing that, you're overcoming your feelings and emotions. That's how you do it. You're going to praise God anyways. But you find out what the will of the Lord is, but to know God. And put that Daniel up there, Beth, please. But to know God is what happens to these people that know God. He said, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries. But the people who do know their God shall be strong. Somebody say strong. And do exploits. That means extraordinary things. That means you don't wear out like everybody else does. That means you don't get oppressed like everybody else does. He said, those that do know their God. How do you know God? You know God through Jesus, by the Spirit of God. To know God, and this word to know God is not like the world. I know there's a God. I know. That's not the kind of know. This is people that have a relationship with God. That he is their God through Jesus. Jesus is Lord. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, they don't know God. But if you know Jesus, you know God. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They are one. So to know God, you can't know God. I'm talking about know him in an intimate way without going to this. I read about Jesus this morning. I just felt led to go in there and read how he was crucified and how he was led up and how the disciples didn't understand he's leaving and all of that stuff at that time, and he's physically with them. And I read all that, and then I read chapter, about five chapters this morning, because I just wanted to read about the crucifixion of Jesus again. And I got down, it always gets to me when I get down to Thomas after Jesus is gone, you know, and he appears to the disciples, and he said, and then when Thomas comes in, they said, we seen Jesus. And he said, I'm not going to believe unless I see his nail-scarred hands, all of that, you know. But Jesus heard him. Then the next time he was in Jesus' presence, he said, look at my hands. He said, look, here's the hole. Look at my feet. Jesus was talking to Thomas. He said, here's my feet. He said, you said you would only believe if you saw. He said, but blessed are those that believe in Jesus and cannot see him. He said, blessed are those. He didn't say weak. Always in a, somebody the other day, they're complaining about people and in their family, and they're Christian. You know, I don't doubt it, I don't guess. But anyhow, on there, and they're just blaming everybody, and I went on there and I thought, I've had enough of this. So I went on there, you know, and I told him, that it was him. I said, it's you. I said, you must get your eyes off of other people and yourself and get your eyes on Jesus. I'm trying to help the man. I'm not getting on to him, Mac. He's miserable. And he says, God, he said, I'm okay with it, God, like he's talking to God. He said, I'm okay with it, God, that you saved me, you know, and you've left me in a desert. But I'm okay with it, God. I'm okay, God, that you saved me, but you don't love me. And so I went on there and I told him, I said, listen, your not doing or doing good works does not change. God loves you one bit. I said, God loved you, John 3:16. See, he knows it. But there's a difference in being intimate with God and looking at God and worshiping God and giving thanks to God, even when it appears and seems like everybody is against you. He is for you. He's not against you. To know God, those that do know God will do exploits. They will be strong. I can testify of it. I've had people say, I don't know how you stand. I don't stand in my own strength. I don't trust in my own ability. I don't trust in my dogmatic go after it. My trust and strength is in the Lord. Listen, the gospel, people say that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the gospel. That's not so. That is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is their account of Jesus, of the gospel. The Bible says the gospel was preached to Abraham way before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, way before Jesus got here, way before. God said, told Abraham, he said, in thy seed, talking about Jesus Christ, your descendants, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. It was talking and pointing to Jesus, then to Abraham. The gospel was preached to Abraham. The gospel is Jesus Christ. So, to know God is to hear the gospel, hear about what Jesus done, birth of a woman by the Holy Spirit. And I tell Johnny every now and then, I'll tell him, I'll say, you know, Joseph was a stepfather. He was. Joseph was not Jesus' biological daddy. He was a stepfather. So I encourage the stepfather. Jesus. Joseph was too. Hallelujah. And so the gospel is, in a nutshell, an exchanged life. I gave my life to Jesus because he exchanged his life for me. He exchanged his life for you and for me. And to know God, know him like you're getting to know your sisters and family. That's what it's talking about. Not to know of God. You knew of them all along, your whole life. But you know them deeper now. We knew about God, but we know him in a different way after you're born again. I understand the scripture where the Apostle Paul, he said, I follow after that I have been apprehended of. He was talking about when he gave his heart to Jesus on the road to Damascus. That experience that he had, that he knew God through Jesus Christ then. He knew him. There's a lot of people know God, but they don't know him. Got the guy, me and Matt was talking yesterday, and I missed my opportunity, Matt, when the guy came up. You know the guy, I guess. Well, anyways, he's needing some money. Trying to sell me hammers and this and that. And I'm sitting there and I got plenty of money in my pocket. But I'm looking on the inside of me. And I looked at him and I said, well, you know, I said, there's this guy, and I named his name, and he probably knows him. I said, I don't need none of those tools or nothing. I said, I don't need none of that. He tells me what he's gonna, what he needs, you know, it for, all the stuff, you know. And I looked at him. And I said, nah, I said, I'm getting ready for service tomorrow here. Now, he ain't connecting it. I'm down here spraying the yard. I'm doing ministry. That's ministry. Spraying weed killer, and me and Mac fellowshipped a few minutes, and that's ministry. I'm working for the Lord. Anyways, I told him, I said, they just got, I said, he come to church. I said, he come to church. I said, and the Lord spoke to somebody and told them to give that guy $100 bill. I said, that guy was plumb broke, didn't have no money at all. I said, and I looked at the guy. I said, and I asked him, he's sitting right back there. I asked him, I said, where was you at when you got that $100? Right here? I said, that's right. You was in church. I told that guy, I said, see, God knew about him being plumb broke before he ever got to that church. God knew he needed stuff. God knew what he needed. And God has had his supply in church. I said, you know, it might be wise for you to get up in the morning, you and your wife or whoever you got, and come to church. I said, now I'm not saying God will tell somebody to give you money in church. I said, although I have seen it time and time. Well, I missed it, Mac. I should have led him to Jesus instead of the church. I'm going around through there spraying and I'm telling the Lord, man, I'm sorry, Lord, I missed it. But now this guy's not new to this church. I've been down here in this city for 34 years. I know everything about this city, about not everything, but I know people that y'all don't even know that you'll get to know that I've knew for years. Hallelujah. And so I missed it. I should have led him to Jesus. I should have told him. See, those that do know their God will do exploits and be strong. But I have my mind on spraying. It's Saturday. Teresa's gone. I don't want to go to the house. I've sold all my cows. I don't got a bush hog. I'm like Mac. I've got it made. And then God asked us to do something for somebody. And then it changes our selling a little. He said, but those that do know their God, but the only way you're going to know God is get to know who you are in those scriptures. The Bible, that's one of the greatest things. It's not, you don't get in, listen, you can read the Reader's Digest and get no revelation. You can read the newspaper, the busted paper, you know, and all of that and not get to know God. But you take after you're born again and you take that word, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. That means I overcome more than I have to because I am more than a conqueror. The Bible says that I am a king and a priest unto God, and so therefore kings rule. Kings, they say what goes and it goes. See, y'all ladies ought to be in Proverbs 31, you know, and tell the Lord, I am a Proverbs 31 woman. Amen. When I didn't see a Proverbs 31 woman in Teresa, it was a long time. I stood on that word for a long, long, long time. I endured hardship as a good soldier a long, 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 long time. Believing the promise would happen, brother. You laugh, but I went through some agony. I've been a warrior in that area. I won. I've got my trophy. Praise God, I wouldn't quit. I wouldn't, because the Bible says in Psalms 23, the one that's my trophy brought it out this morning. She said, Psalms 23:1, she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I won't lack for strength, courage. I won't lack for faith instead of fear. See, God takes your weaknesses when you renew your mind to the Word of God. You begin to find out what you are, who you are, how you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to respond. You begin to find knowledge after you're born again. It's not that you're weak. It's that the Bible says, let the weak, the woe, say that I'm strong. Well, what happens? You get stronger. Before I got saved, Granny, they told me, "Oh, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you." And I told the Lord, I was talking to God, and I told them, I said, "How can He love me and put me down on here on this God-forsaken earth to go through all this hell from the time I'm born, and then send me to hell?" I said, "How can He be a good God?" But once I give my heart to Jesus, I found out, but God, see, the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the hearts of mine. But thank God, Nita, somebody told me about Jesus and that He loved me and that He would help me. And when I came and I finally opened my heart up to Him, I told Him, I said, "God, if You are real like they say You are, then help me." And I mean right there. Right then I was born again. Right then. I did not know the scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I thought to myself, I got up and I thought, what happened to me? I don't want to kill myself anymore, man. The sun was shining through the windows. It's like a thunderstorm was over my house, dark clouds. It wasn't. But once I got born again, it was clear. I mean, it was just clear. And I thought, man. So, Pat, I have ever since then, when I'm after Him, followed after that I was apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's my banker. He's my counselor. He's my El Shaddai. He's more than enough. Amen. I found out all that in that Bible. The what God is. He is El Shaddai. I mean, he is the God of breakthroughs. He is the God that rolled back the Red Sea. He is a God. He is the God that turned water into blood. He is the God that delivered them out of the desert. I mean, all kinds of things. And then I got to that scripture one day and I was reading that because I was intrigued about Daniel, because Daniel prayed 3 times a day, tradition, whatever. He spent 3 times a day praying, and they told him, "You can't pray to God." He opened his window just as usual and he prayed to God. I was intrigued with that. They put him in the lion's den, and an angel showed up in the lion's den and stopped the mouths of the lions according to the scripture. They didn't eat Daniel. The king hurried in there the next morning and said, "Oh, Daniel." The king didn't expect to hear, because that's what they did. That's how you got killed in different things back then. They put you in lion's den and they eat you overnight. Bones is all that's left the next day. And so I was intrigued with that. I thought, man, what a God. What a God that I've got in his hands here. I've come out of darkness. I've come out, and now I'm in this. See, to know God, you will be strong. You cannot drink, like Teresa was talking about, draw out of the wells of salvation. Talk to God on a daily basis. Fast and pray and seek the will of God. You will not stay sick, weak, and broke and discouraged. You will not. See, I keep my eyes off of people. Church people. Richard does some goofy stuff to me. I told him one time back years ago, I said, look, man, the Bible says when we was children, we acted like them. But when we become a man, we put away that childish stuff. And the Lord's over there okay with Richard, I reckon. He's still here. So I just learned, you know, if I get tired of Richard, just shut him off. If he's on there and he's getting on my nerves selling buildings, just scroll on by. How hard is that? Right? And I don't have to say nothing to Richard. I'm making him, I do it. You're goofy. Nothing wrong with goofy. Just be real in our heart with the Lord. Have fun. Enjoy life. That's why John 10:10, he said he come that we might have life and have it more abundant to the full till it overflows. Nothing missing, nothing broken. No lack of faith, no lack of joy, no lack of relationship. You know, Travis told Teresa one time, they don't nobody want to be around you with that stinking attitude. Hurt her feelings, made her mad and all of that, you know. But when she got by herself, you know, she thought about it. And then I come a little later on, I told her, I said, you know, she's like, I ain't got no friends. I said, I know why you ain't got no friends. I said, Scripture tells me why you ain't got none. What? I said, the Bible says if you want friends, show yourself friendly. I said, you're not friendly. Not even to me. I'm not your friend, I'm your husband. I can be your friend. Well, see, I mean, that's part of the word of the Lord coming and shaking up those dead things in us, bringing dead fruit, bringing life. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. And so she's got a lot of friends now. You know what she said the other day, Mac? We have about 5 Saturdays entertaining people. Birthday, 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 birthday. 4th of July. We're 5 weeks at my house. I've got to be social.
Sounds like
it. Yeah, I am anyways. But anyways, you know, she said, sitting there the other night, she said, "Ooh, I'm glad it's over. It's over, boy. We've been 5 weeks." I said, I know, I've been there every time you have. I said, I've been up and down ladders and balloons and blowing them up and blah, blah, blah. I said, I've been there. I said, I know. And she said, I'm thinking about we got to do it for the church. The Friday night church thing. It just keeps coming up and keeps coming up. And I looked at her and I said, listen, I said, I'm game. I said, whatever God wants. See, what that is, Mac, is I tell the Lord, Lord, not my will, but yours. If my will is not your will, I'm going to light myself to you until my will becomes your will. Because I want my will to be his will. If he wills to me to move y'all in my house, which I'm against his will. But, I mean, I'm just making it kind of serious. You know, but if he was to will that, then that's where my will crosses his will. And if I will yield to his will, then his plan will work out in my life. Hallelujah. and my will become His will, then what bothered me don't bother me anymore. Because satisfaction is in the will of God, whatever the will of God is. You know? And they see, this journey that we're on walking with God is killing us. What I mean is, it's killing out those old ways of ours. That's what the wilderness was to do. He was trying to teach them that He will take care of them. He will take you to the He'll take you to the promised land, but don't complain and don't gripe and all of that about the journey that I've got you on. See, because what we got to realize is our life is not just about us. I was telling Mac yesterday, and I don't blow hot air about that stuff, you know. This church is the will of God for me. And I mean, it's the best thing happening in my life other than Jesus is the will of God. Now, the will of God is challenging. I mean, I didn't want to come spray this grass to kill it. You know, I'd much rather been out in my okra patch or whatever, you know. But what I'm saying is that's where I felt fulfilled, is doing the will of God on Saturday. Well, you know what the Lord told me? He said, why don't you just shut your business down next week? He said, just don't do nothing. And I thought, I've never done that, Lord. I've never done it. I've always let them go on vacation, Lord, and I just carry on and carry on. And so I thought, why not? So next week, I'm not even answering the phone. I'm going to sleep late, if I can. You know what? That's going to be a temptation for me. That's going to be a trial for me. I'm going to have to learn to discipline my mind of not answering the public. I'm taking a week off. I'm probably not even going to have a phone on my side, so none of y'all don't call me for an emergency. Call Jesus. If you got an emergency, dial 911. Praise the Lord. But you know what? All of y'all don't need me because you got Him. Because y'all, those that do know their God, give me that next scripture, man. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is He weary. There is no finding, He's too vast and too deep for you to get to the end of Him. That's what He's talking about. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increases strength. You know, I'd read this scripture in Daniel. And I thought, God, I know You, and I'm going to do exploits. I renewed my mind to that. I didn't even have to turn to it. I could have quoted it to you. I've had my mind renewed to that for 28 years. And I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Because I do know God, I'm strong. And I do extraordinary things. The Lord told me to give a ministry that I probably couldn't have got the time of day offering from this church, and I gave them a good offering out of my business. And when I did it, that guy couldn't get me off of his mind and heart. And so calls me up, want me involved, some big thing going on in Nunnion and blah, 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 you know. Having a prayer thing on Friday night and hour and a half and a bunch of pastors coming together and gonna pray for hour and a half. And going to let each one of them have a slot, a place, you know, to read scripture or whatever, about 5 to 8 minutes or whatever, you know. Anyways, I called him back and I told him, I said, I'm coming to the prayer thing. But I prayed about it and fasted about it. And I said, but I don't want a slot. I said, I'm not looking for to preach. I'm not looking to read scripture. I said, but I am interested in coming and praying with the other pastors. I said, and I'm going to come and I'm going to pray and be in agreement with them that they will have a move of God in their churches, that they will have a move of God in their spirit and have revival in their spirit, and that our churches will have another infilling of God's spirit and we will have revival again. See, revival's not getting a preacher and getting everybody to come. Revival is on the inside of a human being that brings God alive, that brings the things of God alive. Hallelujah. And so I told him, I said, I don't want to preach. I don't want to read scripture. And so I told the Lord, like I always have, those that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. And so that door opened up that wouldn't normally open up. We give food away. Another church opened up that wouldn't normally, of 20-something years, I got to go minister there. That wouldn't normally, because I don't click with everybody. I'm a man of faith. I don't get into this begging for ministry. I don't get into the begging for food, begging people to let us have food. I'm into believing whatever God tells me and you he'll do in our life and in our ministry. But God, we believe him and we don't make it happen. And he opens doors that no man shuts, and he shuts doors that no man can open. He is your God then. And so we was offered to go and preach at that and go take our praise team to that and all of that. But I told God, when I told them that I would do that, I told God, I said, but God, I sat on the sideline like I always have. And Lord, if you want to use me, then you let the anointing come on me and I will be a yielded vessel to you, whatever you do want me to do in that session. Because if I do it, it's Scotty. If God does it, it's going to be God and not Scotty. Going to be you and not, and it's not going to be you, it's going to be God when you believe God. I mean, I've seen myself, well, let me tell you a little story. I got that scripture in there and I was persecuted. And I knew the scripture where it said, Jesus said, in this world, you will have persecution. If it hates you, know that it hates me. You're going to be hated by the world. Muslims, non-Christians, they're going to despise you. I despise Christians. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's overcame it. That don't mean that you're not going to get persecuted by the world. Christians have been persecuted for the last 5 years in a great, great, measurable way through the government. Anti-church, anti-God. They like religion. But how many knows Jesus is not a religion? It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so those that stand like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you might have to go through the fire sometime. You might have to go through a season sometime. But the greatest victory that you will ever have, no matter how long it takes, is to wait and trust in God. And don't get ahead of him. Find his will and don't get ahead of him and wait on him. I'm talking about wait, just knowing, waiting, knowing that he's going to do something, knowing that he's going to work it out. Well, I went and messed up a nice truck back after I got born again. Crushed the hood. My boss had built this nice 13-speed truck, sent to California, and got the cab, had it built nice. Built that truck from the front to the back, everything brand new. I mean, just a nice truck. And I was the driver, you know. He built it for me to drive and run the business over there with it. Well, I'm driving and I crushed the cab on it. I dropped sheetrock and crushed that cow. Messed that brand new cow up. Probably about 4 or 5 weeks into it ever getting on the road. And all the guys that were with me, they're like, man, you're dead meat. You're dead meat. You're dead meat. Well, I'm born again. And I thought, I know God like Daniel did. See how knowing that scripture changed my thinking? I mean, it changed my thinking. And so I thought, I told him, I said, y'all bless God, I'm telling you, God is for me. He's not against me, God. I said, you just watch and see what my God does. And I hadn't thought it over in here. It was my heart believing I know God like Daniel and them did. And though Daniel said those that do know their God, they'll do be strong and do exploits. And I thought, I'm strong because I've got to know the Lord. I'm strong because he lives in me. The Holy Spirit is with me. You know, and then they went on and they called the insurance company and they made up this story that I needed to tell the insurance man when he came to the adjuster. And so I told my boss, I said, well, I'm not, I can't do that. Because I'd always been a liar, Mac. And now, man, I'm not going to lie anymore. I've got saved. Y'all leave me alone. I'm trying to be a Christian. That's what I was thinking. Now y'all trying to get me to. Used to, I would have loved to lied. I don't want to tell the truth. I'm lying about it. I can't tell. I would have told them not the truth, you know. Well, anyways, I had to make up my mind. And I told my boss, I said, I'm not. He said, there was a song that's my story and I'm sticking to it. You know, back then, some country song. I didn't listen to country. I thought that was weak. You got to have acid and all that and listen to Rock 99 or something. That country wasn't for us. So anyways, he just walked off and he said, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Well, my brother come that the next day and he come down, I came in and he said, now you, I said, listen to me. I said, I'm serving Jesus now. I tell him my brother, he worked there way before me. He was one of the kind of bigger up guys there. I said, listen, I'm not lying anymore. I'm tired of lying. I've lied to you all your whole life. I said, I'm tired of lying. I said, I'm born again now, man. I'm not going to do it. I said, you go back and you tell your boss. I said, because he ain't mine no more. I said, I belong to the Lord. I'm working for him now. See how the world thinks you're crazy? But I meant what I was saying. I'm employed by the Lord, and he's going to deliver me like he did Daniel. And I'm not quitting my job. I was a quitter my whole life up till then, till I got born again. Can't get me to quit nothing. I'm not. I made up my mind. Quitters never win, but winners never quit. Because we're on the winning side with the Lord. And so anyways, I told him, I said, you go tell your boss, because I won't work for him no more. I said, I ain't quit my job or nothing. I said, I'm working for the Lord now. I've been hired by heaven. And so he's, oh, that's dumb, boy. I said, you better go tell him. I said, because when he sends him to me, I said, I'm going to tell him I dropped that on that cab. I said, I'm going to tell him what happened. He said, you better not do it. So I'm going to face the fire the next day. He's coming. Well, I have to go in at 5, I come in at 7, and they was trucks lined up on the road bringing lumber, delivering lumber, semis. We'd open the gate and they'd come in, and then we'd have to unload the semis, the lumber package, all kind of stuff. And so they opened the gate and I'm standing here and I'd park my truck out in the middle of the field, and there's buildings all around with stuff, and that we'd load the trucks and then pull out, you know, where I was standing. So we're all standing there that morning at 7 o'clock and looking down through there, and that truck came around and came all the way around that building and come from that building like it did not see that truck sitting there. No way he couldn't have not saw it. And when he got to in front of the truck, he just kind of like turned real quick like jackknifed. And when he did, that trailer come right across the hood of that truck and tore it off. And I jumped straight up and I went, "Woo, glory." I said, "Glory to God." I said, "Did you see my God deliver me?" I said, "He just delivered me." I'm telling you, it was so real to me. I mean, it was real to me, because I was going to have to face all of that day. And I didn't even have to see that adjuster. That cab, God delivered me. Made Daniel 11 real to me. All I've done is read it, then I'm 3 months. So, Drew, it don't take you too long to do exploits. Bless God, you make your mind up. God is for me. I have gave one $500,000 business growing every month, led by the Lord. Gave it away. Gave the whole business away. Went down to having to drive a 90-something model S10 that 30 mile an hour is all I could get up when I've been driving the big trucks, pulling massive loads of garage doors and this and that. Didn't have the money for nothing. Went back down to the bottom by the instruction of the Lord in the Bible, against my thinking, and started again. And God said, "I will do it. I did it, and I will do it again." And man, I mean, I had to go turn every bolt. I had to be a good soldier. I had not to complain about the jobs and not having no help. And I had to learn not to complain. So I understand when you want to play that fiddle that nobody knows the troubles I have. I understand. I understand that it's easier to complain and gripe because that we feel we have a need. I understand that, but I understand the other side of how it makes you weaker and gets you faithless and gets you in unbelief and gets you in fear, and then the enemy lies to you, and then you hear his voice and not the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is telling you everything is good. And he done it again. He brought me up. It took me a few years. I went to work alone. I praised him through the storms. I kept preaching that word and being faithful to church and different things. That helps you to stay strong, don't it, Mac? Church. Yes, it does. That devil is a liar. People say they strong without the church. Not biblical. Not biblical. Praise the Lord. So you know what? So I'm believing for miracles, Granny. I'm believing for miracles in your life, in Gary's life, in all of your family's life, your sisters, all of your family, your kids, your grandkids. Hallelujah. I'm not going to look at the way it looks, and you shouldn't either in your family. Despite all odds, God can take what man neglects you or mama or daddy or sisters or brothers. God can take it and turn it around for victory for you. You see, when I got born again, they said, you're a recovering pot smoker. And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not a recovering nothing." I said, "I've been born again. I'm a new creation, and I'm going to believe that. Because if I'm always recovering, I'm subject to fall. You know. but if I'm standing on the lane, in the lane of victory, and singing, 'Victory, oh victory is mine, oh victory is mine. Stand on the word, let the Lord do the battle. Victory, oh victory is mine.'" Satan tried to get me to go bankrupt when I had believed God for a good name. A good name is rather to be, and I told God in there, I said, "God, you want me to have a good name, Lord, according to this word right here. My name is not good, Lord. Right now, I have messed my name up. But Lord, your word says right here, see, that's why you got to believe based on the word of God, not based on your past experience, what your mind tells you or all of that. Because let me tell you something, I don't have to go, but I can go on any car lot or any tractor thing and I will walk away there. They will call me before I get home to come pick it up. Because I would not learn the name that God give me. But you know what? I went in that fire, Anita. I walked in that fire. I was in that fire. And I couldn't see a way not for us not to lose everything, Mac, my family. I couldn't see it. How it was possible not to be on the streets. Me and Teresa and the kids. They didn't have kids. My kids. They lived on my property. But when I got up and I went out of that building, that lawyer telling me, you ain't got no choice. He shouldn't have told me that. Because I thought, I always have a choice. And so when I walked out of there and I told the Lord, I stepped on those streets of Onion and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. It was just me and God, not that pretense. You know, Teresa, we're talking about this morning. Don't talk to God, but that pretense stuff. I walked out of there and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Your word says that we're not to turn. Why turn us to the weak and beggar elements of this earth? I said, and I'm sorry, God. I got in my own mind. I got in trying to figure it out and all of that, trying to save us. I said, and I'm sorry, Lord. I said, I repent right now. Forgive me of unbelief. Forgive me of fear. Forgive me for yielding to that. And Lord, I'm going to trust you. And then I began to declare while I was going to my truck, I will not lose anything according to the scripture. The Bible says, no man has left mother, father, land, brother, trusted him and lost anything. So I begin to rehearse the word of God. Hallelujah, over my thinking and my mind and all of that. And you know what today? I own everything that I would have lost. I own it all. I lost one garbage dumpster out of that 7-year trial I was in. That sucker lasted a long time. And I found out in that you can't wear Jesus out. I found out the one on the greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that is in this world. I found out you can't wear him out. And when you operate in him, you can't wear you out. I came out, I own everything that looked like I was going to lose. I did not lose anything. I own my house. Me and the bank don't own it anymore. God supernaturally moved because I stayed and come back out of fear into faith. Trusting that God would do it, hallelujah. Just like these young kids, y'all working at Jack's and all that, praise God, I thank God for that. But don't stay there. I'm not telling you quit your job, I'm just saying in your heart. You know, you can own the place if God wants you to own Jack's. You serve God in there. I told one girl that here, I'm having flip hamburger at Jack's, only job. I said, nope, don't look at it like that. I said, no. I said, if God wants you to own Jack's, I said, you can own Jack's. I said, you go in there. I said, and you just honor God. You just praise God while you're working. Keep your mind on the Lord. Thank God for that job you got, no matter what it is. I told him, I said, because when you let God be involved, there's nothing small. I said, and you know what? She began to do that, began to just serve the Lord and praise God for that hard Jack's job, boring Jack's job, I guess. I ain't never been there, but, you know. And before you know it, here come Romeo. Here come Romeo. You know, Romeo entered her life. He was a manager of a couple of three Jacks. And they ended up getting married. And then she became the manager of two or three Jacks. Went from low to bar to the palace. God sent her a Boaz. You know. But see, God wanted her in Jack, had a preacher man, had a Christian man tell her, no, don't look down on that job. Don't look down on that job. You give God the glory. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. And then God said, I wanted to do that because my plan was way deeper than what she had thought. So she went from making minimum wage to big time money. Then married a guy that was making big time money. So they both had big time money. At one time, her daddy was in prison, and I taught them, I was teaching them biblical principles when they didn't have the money to go buy groceries. And some criticized me, saying they think you're just after money. I said, I'm not after their money. They don't got no money. I'm telling them to go dig money out of your couch or whatever you got to do and bring your God an offering. Because I don't know about you, I ain't serving a dead God. He is alive, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above greater than me and you can think or ask, but according to the power that we let work in us, the power of his word. We believe God based on the word of God. So I want to encourage you financially. I want to encourage you spiritually. Drink. Drink this week out of the wells of salvation. Draw out of them. Do some fasting. Fast and tell the Lord, I'm sliding this plate back, God. Hallelujah. I'm telling this flesh, you ain't eating. You're not eating right now. Me and God is in communion right now. Me and the Lord is going, and he'll strengthen your flesh, man. He'll strengthen your flesh, man. Hallelujah. And you just spend time with the Lord. I guarantee you, if you do that a day or so, you know, just an hour, a couple of hours, do it a couple of hours. Skip two meals, eat. Get up the next day, skip two meals, eat. You do that, I'm telling you, you won't stay weak spiritually. Your inner man, well, I'm shocked at how strong I am at times because I'm drawing from him. I'm like, man, this is amazing. I should have been defeated a long time ago. This is amazing. So I want to encourage you that to know God, you will do exploits. You will be strong. The Bible says in Mark 16:17, these signs follow them that believe. There's signs that follow you. You casting out devils. You running devils out. They hate to see me come to town. I missed it yesterday, but I won't miss it again, Darsh. I'm going to lead that boy to Jesus. Instead of inviting him to church, I'm going to win him to Jesus. Because if I win him to Jesus, he wants to go to church. See, that God in us, he brings us to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, because we know you, exploits happen, signs, wonders, and miracles. I tell these stories. They're not stories, God. They're true trust in you, and you bring in true breakthroughs. That's what it is, God. A test is just a testimony that we have, Lord, is just proof of your deliverance and faithfulness to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we will have testimonies, one right after another in our lives, Father God. Signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord. But, Lord, we're after you. We're not after things, Father. But Lord, we're in this world, but we're not of it, Lord. And we're going to occupy. We're going to be successful in it because you tell us to in your word, Lord. And I thank you for everyone here and those watching by way of Facebook, live stream, however you're watching. Just draw close to the Lord. Spend time with him this week. Fast and pray and seek the Lord. And we're glad you're tuning in. And I'm trying to learn how to treat you good, praise the Lord. You let me in your living room. And Father, I just thank you for everyone here. Is anybody here this morning you need prayer? You want prayer? Everybody okay with the Lord? If you're not okay with the Lord, your heart is altered.